time for an uncomfortable conversation about financial stability. It's been a far cry since the glory days, and now we're at a point in history where the league themselves are trying to push playing overseas. We know where they're going. They're going to Australia. UEFA said it's regrettable. Gianni Infantino and FIFA said they've got apprehension over this. Players have voiced their opinions. Now the clubs have come out in support of the move in the pursuit of sustainability when it comes to the Euros, the pounds, the sterling. And it's all about the sterling because the Premier League lead the way. Dan and Emmett joining me, David, here on Calcio FC. Where do we start, guys? This is a big question. Maybe we'll start firstly with the fact that La Liga, they put Barcelona and Villarreal on in Miami and they pulled the plug. So what is the reason behind that?
Well, there was a lot of, in their words, there was a lot of uncertainty relevant. The sporting marketing agency, which were essentially hired to promote Villarreal Barca in Miami, have said there's a lot of uncertainty in Spain over the fixture. In layman's terms, there was a lot of protesting done. Spanish or players from all of La Liga took the knee in protest in the first 15 seconds of games, and La Liga actually cut, in the edit, they cut it out, and they just showed fans in the stands because they didn't want to show that there was serious.
It's all about PR.
Yeah, essentially PR. They spun it PR-wise. So our managers complained, Real Madrid filed an injunction saying that it was basically anti-competitive because it was a Villarreal home game. But let's be honest, there's no Villarreal fans in Miami. It's Barcelona essentially getting an extra home game. And there was so much controversy and uproar that they're just like, there's not enough time to organize the game because it's due to take place in December in Miami. So essentially, because of the mountain pressure, they pulled the plug.
Serie A, Milan and Como is scheduled 3 months after that, 2 months after in February, isn't it? So do you think that La Liga pulled the plug to see how, what the reaction is with fans and clubs and the media when Serie A take this game to Australia?
The reaction is obvious. As Emmett said, there's been protests. The players have protested. The fans have clearly said, you know, our voices.
It's almost Super League-esque, the reaction.
Well, it is. It's, you know, the pursuit, as you said at the top of the show, the pursuit of the financial rewards to close the gap with the Premier League. The financial gap is so wide. Is the game really going to move the dial? Might raise interest. But I think, is the blowback worth it? Because players themselves have come out. And you know what? We often say, oh, the players are media trained, vanilla personalities. It's fair play to them for coming out.
Yeah. And Adrian Rabiot come out and said this basically, it's absurd for Milan players and Como players to go to the other side of the world to play.
From that point of view, you have to feel some sympathy for the players because the energy levels, you know, we've heard the game's best footballers say that there's already too much football.
Yeah.
And I guess they'll come out playing in Europe and neither in Milan this season. So that's a plus. That's a positive for them. And I guess when it comes to promoting the game, this is making a statement. This is almost a PR stunt, you would call it, to take a game that's supposed to be played in Milan or Lombardia and transpose it into Perth of all destinations. And we probably should just touch upon the differences between what La Liga were doing in Miami. I guess they could play a game at 2 p.m. there and it would be a night game in Europe, whereas Australia is Perth, that particular time zone there. They're about 6 or 7 hours ahead of Europe. So you'd have to have a night game there to then be a 1 p.m. kickoff here or midday or something of the sort. So it is about the English-speaking diaspora. That's what they're trying to tackle here. They're trying to make waves in the English-speaking world to plug the gap on the English Premier League, who have that advantage of having the English league and using the lingua franca of the world, which is English. Let's be honest. It's a universal language now. And this is where the tactic is. It's about trying to plug that gap with England. There is no plugging the gap, but there is perhaps closing the gap or at least trying to close it.
Well, I think that when you're looking at the gaps, a bigger gap to address would be not from from a language standpoint, but would be the fact that the Premier League have got a better TV product and, well, a lot more money.
Still, you will get players, and we've all sort of scoffed over Modric and Dzeko and all them coming back at the age of 38, 39 to play in Serie A, but still there is that link to the heritage and the history, the iconic clubs.
Sure,
but players want to play out. And that's why Rabiot will go to Milan, for example, instead of, or Marseille. They're still clubs of a particular
stature. I know that this is probably hypocritical because of what we're wearing right now. But do you think that the best way to move forward and close the gap is to be looking back? Because that's what Serie A seem to be doing. You know, we ourselves hark back to the glory days of it. But there should be, like, I think the reason why Serie A have fallen so far behind is because they look back instead of looking forward.
Yeah, there wasn't enough forward planning when it was il Campionato più bello del mondo. Yeah. It was, we'll just go from week to week to week. And that's what the Premier League... And that's why the Premier League now is in this position, because once upon a time, the younger viewers may not believe this, but the Premier League was an average league in the early 90s, in the mid-90s. But they got their house in order, and then they shopped the product around. They went to Thailand, they went to Indonesia, yeah. They went to all these countries, where Serie A was only really big in Japan, but never really utilized it. Yes, they
signed America in that year.
And England, still. Actually, because, you know, growing up, Football Italia was the only... So the only free-to-air football that we will get, aside from the FA Cup and the Champions League.
That boosted Serie A in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah,
that's the reason why I'm a fan. I'm here now is because of that, of Gazzetta Football Italia. But they rested on their laurels for decades, and now they're trying to play catch-up when the Premier League just went...
Junk. So they allowed the Premier League to trend upwards while they plateaued.
Yeah.
They probably couldn't get any higher. When you're at the top, you're at the top. It's like now with the Premier League.
They didn't sell the product when it was at its peak, and that's why they're in this position now.
Which is why, because we were saying off air, the comparison with the NFL is a skewed comparison, because Serie A and La Liga, to an extent, said, well, the NFL are taking their games internationally. We are simply doing what they're doing. But there is a key difference there. The NFL, like gridiron football, isn't played.
No one plays gridiron except for there.
Yeah. I mean, you might have the old amateur league in Britain and in Germany, but it's different. This is like the peak, like the elite product being taken elsewhere. So, yeah, the comparison with the NFL is skewed because gridiron football isn't played anywhere else at that level, bar the US. So you're not tapping into a market that already has that product.
Yeah. So football fans in Australia are crying out for something. It's not just Serie A fans crying out for a better league. I mean, I think Serie A fans have been there for generations, and they just happen
of
to
course.
Have teams.
But you look, you know, and by comparison in the US, I think it's telling how the pre-season friendlies between Premier League clubs drew a bigger audience than the Club World Cup, where you have, in inverted commas, the elite of the elite playing. So I just, you know, I don't think it's a sensible move for Serie A. I think it may backfire.
Well, they have had discussions with the Premier League about playing a 39th.
Yeah, but that's been pretty much...
That was killed.
And it's because they are at the top that they wouldn't have to do it, because they've already got the eyeballs. Now, if Serie A was the best league in the world, would they still be doing this?
No.
No. It's a move designed to try and keep Serie A irrelevant, essentially. Yeah.
And so you look at Ligue 1, for example, the French league. They haven't... you know, floated this idea, and you'd think they'd want to rise up from sixth or fifth or fourth, whatever they ranked, to try and get more eyeballs. They've developed their own streaming platform now. They're sort of in a revitalization mode. The product seems to be better when you watch it as well. So getting their house in order, that's something the French League are looking at. Should Serie A look that way instead of just looking at, we want to be like the Premier League, or we want... They don't even really want to be like the Premier League. They just want the cash flow of the Premier League. Is that what's happening here?
They want to be the best of the rest, because I think we have to own up here. Serie A will never, ever again be the best league in the world the way it was in the 80s and the 90s. It's fallen too far, and the Premier League has risen so high. And as you mentioned, English being the lingua franca of the world also helps. Serie A desperately need to get their house in order. As you mentioned about Liga, they've got all new stadiums because they hosted... Euro 2016, they had France 98. They've got their stadiums are in order. They've still got, you know, atmosphere. You think of Marseille, and they produce young players. Like, there's arguably no national team that produces players of such a good quality as the French.
No, the French are outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. Conveyor belt of talent. Yeah, absolutely.
But La Liga has never been the creme de la creme of leagues. You know, it's never got to a point where Serie A was. And wants to be again. Even when Marseille won the Champions League in the 90s and they had great players, the league itself wasn't that...
There's too much of a gap between the top sort of eight and the rest, isn't there? Because Yeah.
So I think Serie A can definitely take elements of what the French are doing. You have to invest in the product, your own product first before you try to ship it abroad.
Absolutely. And that's what Ligue 1 are doing. So brand awareness, they're trying to build. Now, they may be rebuilding. I wouldn't say 100% rebuild, but they are building a product that people, when they watch it, different camera angles, it just looks a bit shinier yeah. than what Serie A does. Yeah. And even when you look at Serie B, and we're the official broadcaster of that, there are camera angles that we don't get that we probably should be getting. Better, I don't know, like a hospitality experience as well for fans when they go to the stadiums, all these kind of things. I know that Serie A are looking at redoing all this, Serie A clubs. And we do see some outliers there already. You know, one is Como, who is linked with, well, is part of this move to Australia to play. So do you think those brands, do you think they've chosen that game with Como and Milan to sort of help boost this overseas game?
I think we have to keep in mind that this is Max Allegri's Milan. You know, he's not going to convert a neutral Australian going, yep, Milan's my team now. Look at the way they play.
Yeah, there is you know, that as well.
Allegri Ball's not famous in Perth.
Como play good football.
Yeah.
Allegri's Milan. Well, Maxi does not play good football. So you're trying to advertise Serie A, but you're bringing Allegri's Milan to do
it. We should also mention that two things. First, they want to take this game abroad because Milan is hosting the Winter Olympics, and Milan have already been playing in Perth the last 2 years in summer friendlies.
Yeah.
So they already have established themselves, and they pack it out with the friendlies. They play, I think they played Milan Roma there. So Perth is a destination that is not just a surprise. They've already been doing this. So surely they would pack it out for a league match.
Yeah.
As Emmett said, Allegri is a pragmatist at the best of times. I love him to bits. You know, I think he's incredible value having him.
And it wouldn't surprise any of us if he brings Milan the Scudetto this year because he knows how to get the best.
Exactly. But do you seriously think he's going to go over there and he's going to be playing sparkling football? He's going to try and, like, you know, stink the joint out to get 3 points.
3-5-1-1 for me.
Okay. We're saying that Serie A doesn't have the brand power and the superstar power. Rafa Leão, Christian Pulisic. We've got Cesc Fabregas, the coach of Como, Nico Paz, plenty of players that could step up here. Sandiao, absolute surprise packet that's become big offers from the Premier League for him. So is this about also showing foreign territories these star players and then getting some momentum around that, see if they can snowball and pick up some brand awareness?
I mean, maybe.
Well, I mean, you're the Aussie here. How big is Serie A in Australia at the minute?
Serie A is really big, mate. I would say it was huge, especially because Australia is so multicultural. So growing up there, there's a lot of European immigrants, now a lot of Asian immigrants. Serie A was big in Japan as well. So they do still watch Serie A. But of course, when you're going to try and sell the rights to an Australian broadcaster, you're going to get much less these days than what the Premier League or even American sports would get now. So they are having issues with selling the broadcasting rights, not just in Australia, but around the world. They're slowly diminishing every year. And I guess you have to start somewhere to try and at least just stem the bleeding and then try and grow.
But do you think?
It's still big enough, I think, that Serie A would make an impact. So it's not a case of this is like trying to promote paddle or cricket in Iceland or anything like that. Serie A still has a promising supporter base.
So what's the capacity of the stadium?
I think it's about 50, 55, is it?
I think it's about 50, 55, 60, yeah.
Would they sell it out?
But they already have been for the friendlies between Milan and Roma, and I think Celtic's been there and Liverpool and a few others. So
the key point though there is, you know, I think you make a valid point about Serie A and sort of like they're marketing themselves. But are the TV rights diminishing in value because the product isn't that good? Or is the product not that good because the TV rights are slowly diminishing in value?
When you put yourselves from their perspective, let's think of that. When you think about the banter years and the decrease in the star power, it's kind of coincided with Serie A's lack of forward planning, as you said before, Emmett. So it's kind of like the trend, they've both come down. And Serie A still hasn't, the clubs haven't lost their prestige. It's the players. So can they boost the revenue? Can they get more money coming in from broadcasting deals around the world to then be able to pay players more.
But see,
and get that star power back. That's my point.
So I see your point. I look at it from the sense that Serie A needs to get his house in order. It needs to build stadiums. It needs to increase the product. Serie A arguably needs to be reformed and reduced to 18 teams. You need to do all that. Because going to Australia, yeah, it may get Lega Serie A, I don't know, 10 million euros or whatever. But it's literally a band-aid for a shotgun wound, which is what the current league is. The league is not in a finished product. It has, like, as Dan said, and as you said, is it the value of the rights is diminishing because the product's bad, or is it vice versa?
I think that's a key point, because these days when you talk about product, it's not just the product on the pitch. You know, I'll go back to the comparison with the NFL earlier. I'm a massive NFL fan. The NFL is so accessible. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. You can go on their Twitter feed and you'll see clips of the best plays. You could see like bite-sized highlights and all the rest of it. And it's the way of saying, we want you to consume our product. Here's the product. You come to us for our product and it's here. And it's, you know, whatever you need, it's here. Serie A, I have this opposite, like, I don't know whether it's probably a cultural difference as well, but it's a case of like, why are you trying to watch these? You know, the fact that you're trying to watch these not on TV suggests that you're doing something wrong, you know. And then we go again with this anti-piracy campaign, which just seems to be the only hill they're prepared to die for.
Well, funny you mentioned the NFL, because they've been able to grow their brand through, you know, creating new partnerships in England, in Germany. So when you look at Formula One, they went from a situation where they couldn't sell broadcasting rights, and then over a series of, I think they reformed the way that they would allow people to repost on social media.
Yeah.
And that's something Serie A has a massive no-no. Even if you are a journalist, that you can't lift your phone up and take a photo and do anything, they belong to the broadcaster. And I understand you want to protect the interests of the people paying your bills, but at the same time, there needs to be some leeway so that fans inside the stadium, influencers inside the stadium, can actually show off the real beauty of Serie A, which is the fans, the tifos, what it's like to be at a game, the fact that it's not just about boozing up, it's about being there, and there's the sense of belonging. So all these things help sell Serie A, and I think that's where they're missing out. They're not allowing people to actually show it off in a social media standpoint.
That atmosphere is the last bastion of the glory days. When Juve signed Cristiano Ronaldo, it moved the needle a bit, but it was proof that signing superstars is not going to increase the value of your product. Even if Ronaldo was there, if you had, you know, Shevchenko on his peak, Batistuta, Baggio, it still looks bad. The optics look bad because the stadiums are 7,000 years old. And it looks like it was filmed on an, as you said, analog.
Of course, if someone from Serie A is watching this, you know, this isn't just a damning indictment of everything that they've done. We understand that this is systemic from way back, and they're probably just trying to put Band-Aids on sores at the moment. So we get it, but still, there needs to be some movement. And to them, this is going to Perth with Milan and Como.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, going back to the topic of Milan and Como in Perth, even on a technical point of view, Como's not playing Milan at San Siro. And then it gets to a point where if Milan lose the title by a point, they go, well, that was the game we lost it. Because Como's not going to feel any pressure because they're not playing in San Siro. So it actually works in their favour. So you get into a grey area later down the line if Milan lose the title by a couple of points and go, well, actually, we lost out on a home game.
Sure. That's from a right here, right now standpoint. Let's look at, before we wrap this up, the future. If this is a raging success and the fans have proven to be wrong, would this be a regular thing?
The fans are going to be proven to be wrong from a financial standpoint, surely. But if we take that as a premise, then what is even the point?
But would there be an issue with, okay, you could increase your revenue overseas, but then you could also cause some bleeding at home from this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will play devil's advocate once more. Sometimes you have to make it big abroad for people at home to give a damn. And that's what happens with Australians, like Kylie Minogue could never make it big. You know, if we're going to equate Kylie Minogue to Serie A, Jason Donovan even, they couldn't make it big at home.
Who? No, honestly.
Neighbours, my friend.
Sister of Danny Minogue.
If you haven't seen it, Dan, we went and interviewed Christian Vieri. He loves Neighbours and he knows who Jason and Kylie are.
No, I know. I'm aware of Neighbours. I never heard of
Jason Donovan was Kylie Minogue's lover or boyfriend at the time. So again, that was back in Serie A's heydays, late 80s, early 90s. So they had to make it big to go to be noticed back home. And it, we do have an issue, and I'm sure they've studied this with some of the younger kids. They're now turning to basketball and American sports and all these other things. So is it a case of them thinking, well, over there, Serie A's cool now. Maybe I want to play football. Is there that? Because football isn't as ingrained in the DNA in Italy as it used to be.
Yeah.
They are turning to, and it's again because of the good work of these other sports to promote themselves in Italy, that they've been able to make headway and diminish the effect of football. So is this going to counter that even?
My fear is if it is a raging success, Serie A then will overlook all the problems at home and just go, oh, we'll just have more games abroad and that'll solve all, that'll solve all problems instead of them actually looking at the domestic issues and getting it sorted. That's my fear. Where if this game is a success and then they do two next season and three the season after that, it's like, oh, it's all grand, it's fine. It's no, you need to get your house in order first. You still need to focus on that. You need to get stadiums built. You need to improve the visuals, the optics. All this stuff has to happen first.
Sure.
My fear is if it's a success, then they'll push all that to the side.
Look, there is something. Well, this is a case study. This is what it is. So still, it may not happen because you have to get there and play the game. We're still months away. But there is a lot of food for thought here and a lot of perspectives to take into account. I guess that's what we're trying to do now is explore those. From a fan point of view, we understand that. From a player point of view, we've touched on that. From a club owner point of view, we've seen both clubs get on board with it. And that doesn't mean the players and the coaches are on board with it. There is an administration process here where you have to sign all the documents to make this happen. So it looks like it's going to happen. La Liga is not going to happen. Serie A probably could be. And it may pay off being the first to do this. So should we leave it there, gents?
Yeah.
What do you think of the comments? Should this match between Milan and Como go ahead? Has Serie A got it right or wrong?